It is to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. Aren't you glad you got a Wednesday night spirit? Go to church. Huh? Are you glad about it tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just so glad you're here. Most of all, we're glad the presence of our Lord is in our midst. What would we do if he wasn't in our midst? Oh, we'd be miserable, wouldn't we? We'd just be another regular church member somewhere. But God has so favored you and me. He is so graciously favored this place right here. We ain't all of it, but we're part of it. Look at somebody and say, you're part of it. You're part of it. Amen. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. If you're just a blade of grass in the picture's not complete without you in it. The blade of grass has to be there. Somebody say, I'm more than a blade of grass. We're the apple of his eye. He loved us so much. He gave himself for us. Aren't you glad about it tonight? We might all just sing that one more time, Brother Harry. Holy Spirit, rain down on us tonight. Holy Spirit, wouldn't you love for the Holy Spirit just to rain down on you tonight? How many of you like to have a real good encouragement tonight? How many of you like to have a real good blessing from the Lord tonight? He's able to give you what you have need of, church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, give him another big hand clap. Holy Spirit, rain down. Yes, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend. Oh, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Please go away. Amen. Well, I believe we're going to have church tonight. Amen. I believe we're going to hear the voice of the Lord. When our pastor comes out here, it's his angel to us. Do you believe that tonight? It's his angel to us tonight. We're just anticipating. As Brother Ron said over the weekend, focus on the promise, not the problem. Focus on the promise, not the problem. We've ever one got more problems than we can tote out of here. But let's focus on the promise. There's been a promise made to God's people. Do you believe it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big old hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother John, if you'd get ready tonight, come and take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. I want to remember Rhonda Tucker from over in Bristol. Tragically lost her 22-year-old son last Thursday. They're having his service this coming Saturday. I want to remember that prayer request, that the Lord would just comfort the hearts of that family as they go through this difficult time, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for all of those that are facing the hurricane. Florence, there's a lot of bad weather anticipated and expected to hit different parts of the country. So we want to pray for those folks, that the Lord would just be mindful of their situation. God's able to send that thing right back to the ocean. He's able to do that. We believe that tonight. Whatever he wants to do, he's God. He can do it, can't he? We believe that tonight. Sister Chevy wants us to continue to pray for Brother Charlie, having a lot of pain in his legs and in his back. So we certainly want to... I miss Brother Charlie when he's not here, don't you? So let's remember our brother in prayer. Sister Janet Payne sends this in. And most of you probably already know the tragic loss of the little... was his name Darren, I believe, maybe? Yes, Darren. I guess that was the little boy that was in the accident. Am I right in saying that? That was in the car accident a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. Well, he graduated and got his heavenly reward. The Lord just took him home this past week. So we certainly want to pray for that family, Sister Janet, and all the folks that's involved in that, that the Lord would just be mindful of them and keep them in his arms of love. Let's remember them tonight as we pray. Brother Jose Manley says, a few months ago, I requested prayer for my mother who was found with cancer in her stomach. She went back to the doctor. After prayer was made by the saints of God, she went back to the doctor and was found absolutely cancer-free. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says she has just a few more treatments to go through, and just asking that the Lord would help her to get through this all right. We believe he's more than able to do that, don't we? Amen. One request prayer. This is was sent in from... let's see here. Who did send this in? Well, it's WordPress. It was sent by Brother Brian Gilbert sends this in, that he was asking us to pray that he would find direction in his life, just seeking the will of the Lord in some situations that he's going to be facing. And we just commit all that to the Lord. God's able to meet that man's needs tonight. We believe that. Want to continue to pray for Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Grabley. Both are having a lot of pains, or both facing back surgeries, and their desire is to be in the house of the Lord. We just pray that God would be with them. They want you to know that they love you and they appreciate you, and we want to just continue to pray for them. Sam and Jeanette Clark, both sick tonight, so we want to remember them as we pray tonight. Sister Carol Reagan sends this in to please remember my sister in prayer. The cancer has returned, and she is... undergoing chemo treatments, which make her very weak and sick. And they're just asking that we would pray on her behalf, that the Lord would help her to go through this and give her complete deliverance. We know he's more than able to do that, don't we? We believe that with all of our heart. Amen. Please pray for Brother Homer Longoria. He is in the hospital being treated for pneumonia. So we want to remember Brother Homer tonight as we pray. Then Brother Harvey Lunsford sends this in, an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Brother Sackers, or the Sacker family, they just want to thank the Lord, all those that prayed for keeping them safe. There was a large tree that fell on their home, and they escaped without any injury whatsoever. And thanks to all those, the outreach and the concern that everyone has shown, they want to say thank you and thank the Lord for their safety. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, I know there's many needs among us. You believe you're serving a great big God. You believe you're serving a God that loves you more than you could ever imagine. Do you believe that with all your heart? Could we stand tonight? Brother John, if you'd come, take us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother John, don't we? The Horniak family. God bless our brother. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
We're all sitting back there thinking how blessed that we are, that we don't have to worry about, oh boy, what is he going to bring tonight? Or, oh, I hope it's not some leftover, warmed up, same old meal, same old stuff. We get fresh meat at this church. It don't matter who steps behind the pulpit, we get fresh meat from a fresh God who's real to us. He's a personal God. Let's bring to our God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how great you are, Lord. How marvelous it is, Lord Jesus, to be in our right minds, to be able to speak to the King of Heaven, to the Creator of heavens and earth. But Lord, while you're all those wonderful things, you are also our friend, our love, our life, our everything, Lord. We're so happy to serve you, Lord. We're so happy to know you in that way, Lord Jesus. We know that you're our healer. We know that you're our comforter, Lord. We know, Lord Jesus, that you're our soon coming King. And we're so happy, Lord Jesus, to know, Father. And while, Lord Jesus, we're anticipating, Lord Jesus, your soon coming, Lord, we're here tonight to get preparation for that, Father God. We're here, Lord Jesus, to be brought up to a higher plane, a higher level, Lord Jesus, in you, Father. And Lord, these requests that are in my hand tonight, Lord, so many needs, cancer and desperate situations and ones that have lost a child, Lord Jesus.
Lord, you know what it's like to be hurting. You know what it's like, Lord Jesus, to groan on a rock with a headache, Father God. You're concerned about these things, Lord. You just ask that we lay them down at your feet, Father. So that's what we're doing. We're taking these requests, Lord Jesus, and we've made known, Lord, and we're laying them at your feet. We're believing with all our heart, Lord Jesus, that you would take these things, Lord. And you would have your will in your way, Father. And as we progress through the service, Lord, may the spirit of worship fall on all of us, Lord. May we give it our all, our everything, Lord. It's been a busy day, Lord. A run home from work just to get ready for church. I'm so excited all day long just to be in your presence here, Lord. And I believe you want to honor us, Lord, with your presence coming here, Father. We're so thankful, Father God, that you love us so much. I pray that you would just anoint the songs, anoint the ministry, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, we know it's only by your grace that we're here tonight, Father. And we love you and we thank you for it. We pray that you just have preeminence. We ask this in all things in your name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. I think we still have some folks visiting from Arizona that have stayed for an extra few days and be here for a little while. We want to welcome you. Wherever you're from visiting with us, God bless you. All those that would be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Because we say it together, God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you will. Praise the Lord. Brother Michael Bailey wanted me to make this announcement. Also, they do have the list over in the library if you'd like to render your services to the Fall Festival as far as help. There's still room for you to work. That's a scary word to a lot of people, work. Oh, it's a frightening word. But there is room for you to work at the Fall Festival. So if you want to sign up for that. But due to some work that we've taken place downstairs and also in the fellowship hall, all Sunday school classes are suspended indefinitely until further notice. Teachers, enjoy your vacation, and parents, good luck. I read it the way it was wrote. But remember that, Sunday school will be suspended for an indefinite period of time until they get the work done. And, well, we're just a very blessed assembly to have such gracious people that make up our assembly. You're precious people. I want you to know that. You are precious people. God loves us. He loves us so much. Look what he gave us. Look what he has given to us. Look what he has blessed Happy Valley with. We're so blessed. Let's never take it just for granted. That's just Brother Donnie, just this and just that one. Just Harry sitting over there, just Larry sitting over there, and they're just doing their thing. These are precious, precious gifts that God has given this assembly. All these brothers up here, every one of them. Praise the Lord. Just precious, precious brothers that make up our church band, and we love them, don't we? Let's sing a song tonight. Now, you may have noticed I'm a little bit hobbled in my walking. I've got some health issues, but you know what? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'll be like Buddy Robinson. If I can't hobble up here, I lose every tooth in my head, I'm going to gum that devil to death. How about you? You going to do it too? Are you determined to hold on? Are you determined to fight the fight? Amen. Amen. I covet your prayers. I've got some doctor's appointments and different things that I've got to go through next week. I do covet your prayers that you would remember me. And I'm just one of many in here that need touches from the Lord. And he's able to help us, church. I believe that. I believe that he's able to help us. I thank you for my healing. I know it's coming. I just ask him, Lord, help me to receive what you've already done. I just want to receive it. He's already done it. Just let me receive it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, I'm a soldier. I don't like them good as now as I did just about 2 minutes ago. Well, I'm a soldier. Yes, I'm a soldier
in this army.
Oh, I'm a soldier
in this army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yes, I'm a soldier. Amen. I was at the medical center the other day. Glenda and I were there making a delivery. And I heard somebody way up on the seventh floor outside the building saying, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. It was ricocheting down through that hospital carrier, the halls and the walls, it was just bouncing off. And I hollered back, sing it, brother, sing it. I didn't know who it was, had no earthly idea. Come to find out, it's Brother Fred Perry. He is saying, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Well, I'm a soldier. We got a couple of songs tonight. Some folks from Arizona, Brother Larry, is that right? They're going to be singing. If they'll come onto the platform, is Sister Anna going to sing tonight? She's not here. Brother David Swanson, is he here? He has a song. Supposedly, I reckon you still do. I ask you to, so counting on that. But if they'll be coming onto the platform, our folks from Arizona, God bless your hearts. If they'll come onto the platform, let's sing just a little bit more of that. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Are you a soldier tonight? Well, I'm a soldier. Hand tonight as they sing. You can be seated.
Take a picture. Put it in a dark room. There's a process for it to go through. Take it out when that process is completed and see the beauty before you. That's how it is. Here on earth, the shot was taken from another world. Earth is a dark room where our lives develop, and soon our true beauty will unfold. In a better world, a better place, a better life in a better way with better things. In eternity, that's where we'll be with the one who died for you and me. In this world, strangers, but there's a place where we belong. Soon we'll leave this old sinful Eden. Take courage, friends, it won't be long. Oh, genuine city, but we see the one that is to come. We desire that heavenly country God has prepared, our future home.
Who told the sun where to rise in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. That very same God who spins worlds in orbit, runs to the weak, the weary, and worn, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Yes, I know my testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer, and He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim that the for my sin was the precious life He gave, and now He's alive and there's an empty grave. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives.
the Lord. Aren't you glad you know your Redeemer lives? God bless you. You think God can move on people's hearts? It's going to sing and be able to kind of send them in a direction that Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. There's only one. There's not a Baptist body, a Methodist body, a Church of God body, a two-soul body, a return body, a deity body. There's only one body. That's the mystical body of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, as the church, now remember this word is not in the Laodicean church ages or the other ages. It is not the church natural, but it's the ecclesia. This is the word that Paul uses, the church, ecclesia, the elect. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, you mean it wasn't everybody? Oh, really? You see, this is part of the problem that folks have with our message. They think that the cross and grace changed the whole scenario of God. Well, say, oh, now, Brother Donnie, under grace, God can't have election. Don't tell Abraham.
Amen.
Oh, you say that was under the law. No, it wasn't. God never gave the law to Sinai. Abraham was elected under grace. There was no law. Grace. Grace doesn't do away with election. Was that for you? Or you? Or who? Okay. All right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace tonight, Lord. We love you so much. We ask you tonight, dear God, as we look into your word, that you'd speak to us. We believe we're part of the church of the living God, part of that mystical body that is made up by those that are spiritually baptized in that invisible union into our Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help us tonight that we can see our position. May your word, Lord God, be made real to us. Take it by divine revelation. Illuminate it. Enhance it to our hearts that we can see the relationship that you've ordained for us to have. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. Now that we are the church of the living God, there's so many things about us that God has given to us by His grace, so many things that's been inclusive in the plan of redemption of what God has done. And we've been looking at some of them. As the church, we are certainly receivers of the grace of God, the mercy of God. Are we worthy of it? Of course not. Are we because we're better than anybody else? No. There's nothing about us humanly that is any better than any other mortal, were it not for the grace of God. But what is it that makes us different? Same thing that made Abraham different. It was election. But in that election, we know that God has a great plan. That plan, it receives all different categories of people. People don't like to hear it this way, but it is the truth that God is a God of variety. And we know that God created the stars, and they have different luminosity. The angels are created in degrees. In heaven, there will be degrees. In life, there are degrees. From the recipients of the power of the cross, there are also degrees by which people receive the benefit or the loosing of that power of the cross and the blood. Now, the elect of God will receive the full benefit drawn from the body of our Lord Jesus. The church will receive what she will be able able to receive forgiveness for some, forgiveness and sanctification for others, the ability to have dreams, see visions, so on and so on. Many Pentecostals can do all of that, still not be washed by the water of the Word. So every person will not necessarily receive according to the same abundance from the same cross or the same body of our Lord Jesus. Our experiences are actually predestinated to us. Now, you may differ with me on this. I'd rather be able to walk with God by revelation than to be able to have visions every day of my life, dreams every day of my life, prophecies every day of my life, and all those things are good and wonderful. But believe me, friends, I've rubbed shoulders with all kinds of Pentecostal preachers, all kinds of people that had all kinds of visions and dreams and prophecies and could tell you things that you done, tell you what you ate the day before, and yet deny the Word of God. I'd rather have a heart to be able to believe the Word than have all the gifts bestowed upon me. If I was the most gifted preacher that ever was, give me a love for truth. That's right. Because whenever the gifts are all gone, believe me, I've seen many, many gifted people that I hope and pray to God, many of them never come among the message, because if they do, they'll deceive many. Because many have never seen real gifted people. They've never seen people who could have all kinds of visions and prophecy and pray for all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders. All they know is just somebody jumping around a little bit and they think, oh my boy, that's really something. But the elect of God, no matter if you would perform a sign, a wonder, a miracle, oh, Brother Donnie, I can tell you your name. I've known it since I was that high. I don't need somebody to tell me my name. Tell me about the Word. Tell me who my daddy is. Tell me who I am. Tell me what I need to do to straighten up my life, to straighten up your life, that we can be what God wants us to be. That's what I desire. Are gifts important? Certainly they're important. It's tongues and prophecy, interpretation, all those things. Are they important? They are. But remember, those things are minors. Seeing visions are minors. Prophecy is minors. Then when you find a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a church that majors on a minor, you know right there they don't have a clue of where we are. Now, it may be major to them because they dream dreams and have all kinds of things. It's just like a person who speaks in tongues. Is speaking in tongues supernatural? Can be. It's absolutely wonderful and phenomenal that a person would be able to speak in tongues. Totally against science. I saw a thing the other day, and it actually took a brain scan. And they was going through a man that was speaking in tongues, and this man was laying on the desk, the chair, and they ran down. They scan over the man and they watch these parts of his brain as his brain was reacting as he was talking in tongues. Now, it was a language this man did not know. It was supernatural. And yet at the same time, I know them about the man. The man does not believe this word a bit more than nothing. And yet it would have been so supernatural. How is it your mouth can say words that your brain has not taught? Your intellect doesn't know. Was it supernatural? Sure it was. But yet Paul said, if a man will speak in tongues, if he don't interpret, let him keep silent in the church. You mean something that supernatural that would take a man over or a woman and bless them in such a way and they would speak in a language whether it was earthly or heavenly and their brain would begin to pronounce the words, words they never heard, words they never learned. But if it does not edify the body, the church, then they are to retain that supernatural miracle within themselves without an interpreter. That's how much God exalts the church. Praise the Lord. God don't exalt your speaking in tongues over all the rest of us here. Praise the Lord. Now you might be blessed and take off running and swing on the chandelier and kick all the windows out and wind up here in the baptistry and knock over the organ and turn over the piano. And I hope you've got a big bank account because you're going to replace all these things if you do that. But you know what? That's not edifying the rest of us. So you know what you should do? You should consider everybody else that's in church besides you. That's how much God looks at the church. And yet Paul took tongues and he took prophecy and he said greater would be that one which would prophesy because it would benefit the body. All right, thus saith the Lord, be careful y'all because Friday, whenever this hurricane's going to come through and you all watch your houses because you'll receive so many inches of rain and the wind's going to be 45 miles an hour and boy, we watch it. If it's the word of God, it won't be 40 plus 0.99999. If God said 45, it'll be 45. If God said we're going to get 6 inches of rain, we'll get 6 inches, not 4 3/4 or 7.5. Well, come on, saints. Now, whenever that comes to pass, then we can be able to look around and see. Why? Because prophecy is told before the event happens, not after. Oh, I know all kinds of prophets, don't you? Oh my, they can all, the Lord told me and the Lord showed me and the Lord told me. But it's always after the event happens, never before. I don't have time for such nonsense. Be careful, Brother Donnie, I'm careful to withstand evil, lying demons out of hell. God don't lie, friends. And God sends saying in the church to what? Benefit the church. You see, God has ordained this church, I believe with all my heart, before the foundation of the world. It's come through many, many years of different pastors and things that has come through, different strains, come up to Pentecost and all of that. But every one of us here, and don't ever forget this, every one of us here are replaceable, including me. If we live long enough, the Lord will probably take me or we'll go on the rapture together. Everybody here, the piano player, the organ player, the drummer, the guitar player, every deacon, every lay person, including the pastor, the associate minister, everybody here is replaceable. But the church goes on. Jesus didn't say on this rock I'll build Donnie. Jesus didn't say on this rock I'll build Tim. But on this rock I will build my church. So it's not how great I am, how great you are. It is the church of the living God. You see men and their ministries and all they focus on is themselves. How great they are, how gifted they are. They're this and that and the other. Don't pay them a bit more attention than you would a black fly because they'll never amount to a hill of beans. A God called man realizes his gift is not for himself. It is a burden to him. It is troublesome to him. It is not for him. You all were not sent for me. I was sent for you. Well, praise the Lord. You all are not sent here 3 times a week to listen to my brother Harry play the organ. My brother Harry was gifted by God to be able to bless the people of God around the world. You're not sent here to listen to Brother Larry be able to tinkle the ivory or the brothers play the instruments. They are sent to be able to make music and create an atmosphere to help you enter into the Word so you and the Lord Jesus can enter into a harmony, a unity. Oh, hallelujah! It's not about this man or that woman. It is about the church of the living God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord for that. That wasn't even anywhere on the notes here. But anyway. Now, because we are the church, then we are identified in certain traits and characteristics that church natural never has and never will be. One of them is that we are a redeemed people. That's why I said about Brother Dave Saul. A redeemed people. Now watch the tithe as it flows from the Old Testament to the New. Exodus 15:13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast goeled. Goeled. Thou hast redeemed. thou hast redeemed. Now notice, thou hast in thy mercy has led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. Who redeemed who? It was not the people that was asking for a redeemer. They might not even at this time even know what a Goel was. But it was the redeemer by his own choice chose them out from among all the nations of the world. As I said, you'll never find in the Bible that God said he's the God of the Amorites or the God of the Hittites or the God of the Jebusites, but he said he is the God of Israel. That's God's own choice. That's right. Thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Now notice what redemption leads to. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Notice what redemption does. Redemption has two parts. That's coming out of and going into. They came out of the land of Egypt and they were privileged to walk into the holy habitation of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. They wasn't just called out and then live out there like the rest of Egypt and say, you know what? We'll just come out and start another little Egypt. That's what a lot of folks want. They want to get saved. They don't want to go to hell, but they want to live a little Egyptian life. They want to be worldly. You know, they want to do all the things of the world. But God said, no, if you're really redeemed, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and I'm going to bring you to where I live, and I live in a holy land. I live in a holy place. Oh, praise God. If we come out, we must go into him. In him is holiness. Notice Deuteronomy 21:8. Be merciful, O Lord, unto... Uh-oh, now God was saying it first. Now the prophet's saying it. God wants to say it, then he wants the prophet to say it, then he wants the people to say it. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. And who is the final voice to the final age? Who? The elect of God, the bride. Amen. Notice, be merciful, Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed. Remember, redemption is not the work of the person that needs redeeming. It is not them. They're not asking for it. They're not petitioning it. They're not begging for it. It is the work of the Redeemer. Even with Ruth, the only thing she could say to Boaz was, spread thy skirt over me. But it was totally up to the choice of Boaz whether he would follow through on the act of redemption. It was not Israel saying, oh, we need a Redeemer. We need a Redeemer. We need a Redeemer. When God sent them his angel, they still fought even leaving. They fought it with their sin and the rebellion. What was it? God was determined to redeem a people. Well, I'm glad he's determined to redeem one in this hour. Lay not innocent blood into thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Now notice in the New Testament of Luke chapter 1, verse 68, when Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, listen what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Not the second person, the Godhead, but the Lord God of Israel. You don't find none of the apostles believing two lords or three. They believed Jesus was the Lord God of Israel in a human body. And if our faith is restored back to the apostolic fathers, that's what you're going to believe. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath not one of them, but he hath visited and redeemed his people. Notice Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is the only way we could be redeemed now, was for the Redeemer to take the curse upon himself. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. So the Redeemer becomes our curse to remove the curse off of our identification and reveal our name from the book of life. being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Well, why shouldn't it come on us Gentiles, since Abraham was a Gentile himself? Praise God. Might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song. This is the great multitude saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred. Notice these are Gentiles now. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. These are not Jews. These are Gentiles. Praise be to God. How many glad you're redeemed? You believe in redemption? You sure? I mean the real redemption. So the real redemption is this. You go into the pawn shop and you're Saul. Your speaker, your fake tree from China, your microphone stand, your Roland Juno-D, your Avion is in the pawn shop. You've got the ticket in your hand. You go in there and say, I want what's mine. Do you have the ticket, sir? I do. For every seat, every item. Here it is. Here's the price paid in full. Now, once the date has expired on the ticket, you've got 90 days, you've got 60 days, whatever it is. Now, if you don't come back and redeem that JBL speaker, then we're going to move it from the back side of the book, from the back room, and we're going to put it out front, and whoever walks in can buy that speaker. So here comes the Lamb with the tickets in his hand. This one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine. And that JBL speaker, which wasn't his, and that guitar, which wasn't his, and then that wireless headset, and this songbook, and that coat, and this cable wasn't his, but they said, could we go too? And he said, whosoever will, let him come. So here he goes down through that pawn shop with a great big buggy of grace. You know what grace was? An empty spot in the buggy. Hallelujah! But he's not going down through there gathering those he has tickets for like that. It's the John 3:16 Christians. So it says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. They jump in the buggy. Here, this banjo jumps in the buggy, and this guitar, and this bass guitar. And that's a hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Amen, I'm going to heaven. Oh, God, I've never been there, and I don't deserve it. Let them sing them songs. Let them talk that. They're telling the truth. I've come to realize, friends, one of the reasons some of the preachers in this message fight election, and one of their favorite scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16, because they need it. Without it, they would not be there. You can't fight God's word and be elect. You better hope there's room in the buggy for you. So here he comes. He's got all these tickets in his hand. And he's got a buggy load. Matter of fact, he picked up several buggies. The buggies of amplifiers and JBLs and speakers and all that that come from the book of life will way outnumber what's in the Lamb's book. The city ain't made for everybody. Just those that was in the pawn shop with a tag. Who's going to live on the outside? Those budding Christians. Oh, glory be to God. They found grace in the eyes of God. And God said, you want to be saved? Look, friend, do you understand? You fight your way to hell. But Brother Donnie, what if I'm not bride? If you're not bride tonight, if you don't want to go to hell, you don't have to. But if you do go, you deserve hell. Because God offered you something and you was not even His own genos. His own kind. Praise God. Praise God. The prophet says in future home, it proves it. Also in who is Melchizedek, only the elected are considered in redemption. Why? Redeem means by. So the JBL wasn't his. This piece of foam right here, which muffles the sound on the backside of this speaker, reduced the decibels. Wasn't his. But he come to him and said, hey, you want to go? He said, I sure do. He said, well, come on. What about you? You want to go? I sure do. Well, hop in the bucket. And you can tell by looking at all these things I'm picking up, every one of them have a different image. They don't look like the image of Him that's doing the calling. Glory! But if you look deep enough and you'll find those that's got tickets, you'll find written inside their soul His DNA. Hallelujah! You may keep them away from Him for a while, but brother, you cannot hide a real seed of God from His Father. He will find him. Now I ask you again, do you believe in the real redemption or do you believe in the watered down Christendom concept of redemption? You see, in order for God to redeem Israel, God had to elevate them in position. He could not leave them in the stance of slavery and say, I have come to redeem you. So what did he tell Moses to tell Pharaoh? You tell Pharaoh, I said, let Israel go. He is my son. He is my firstborn. So God ain't stealing slaves. God's redeeming children. Hallelujah. You may have thought you belonged to the devil, but you didn't after all. You never did belong to him. Praise be to God. But Brother Donnie, won't them people that live outside the city, won't they be sad? No. They will be so happy just to be there. There'll be no sadness. Oh, glory to God, there'll be no sorrow. Nobody will be there. Well, I'm not bride. I ain't going. I'm madder than a hornet. There won't be no hornets. And there won't be no people that act like them. Brother Terry, they will be so happy. They will be so grateful. They'll be so happy to go up to the house of God. And when they come up to the house, the bride's chamber, they'll look at you and say, oh my God, wonder what it must be like to live in behind the veil. Don't you understand those who really have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You are already being envied right now by those who don't have it. Don't you understand? Folks look at those that are sealed in the kingdom of God and say, how is it they can live that kind of life? I wish I could. I wish I could. It's so sad to me because people hear it preached and they look at it. They know it's real, but it's like they themselves never press on into it. I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish it was mine. Glory to God. God's people have always been a holy people. Now, being holy is not just a holiness doctrine. Right. There's still a few churches that are left, apostolic, and a few here and there and there, that you see wear long dresses and have long hair and so on, other than us. As a matter of fact, some of the Mormons dress more holy than we do. You see some of those guys and their pictures in the paper, the polygamists, and you see some of the women, they look just like some of our women, except more holy. Why? Because they have broke into that and they think that's what God requires of them. But I'm not talking about a holiness view or a holiness look per se without a holiness heart. Holiness does not begin by letting out the length of your skirt or raising up the height of your blouse, sisters, or brothers getting rid of all your jewelry and all that sort of thing. It begins within you. This is why many people come to the message and they put on the holiness attire and then in time they leave it, because it never began in here first. They changed their apparel on the outside and got rid of this and that and the other, but yet that old worldly attitude was on the inside. If you ever become sanctified and set apart in your soul and sealed into the Holy of Holies, you can forget bobbed hair. You'll never do it again. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art a holy people. Which the word holy means set apart, pulled apart from other people. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord has... Now you see, friend, this is why I can shout when it comes to choosing election. I'm saying what God said. God talks this way. Now, if you want to argue with me, free will Baptist, go right ahead. God wasn't a free will Baptist. God was God, the Word. And if you're a son or daughter of God, you should be able to say amen to the Word. You want to question my opinion? You have your right. I'm reading you the Word of God. At least show respect to God's Word and say amen to the Bible. Notice now, the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar, which is a special treasure, a peculiar people unto himself, along with all. Above all the nations that are upon the earth. And this was under grace. Glory be to God. I smell that smell. It must be the devil's hide. I'm hoping it ain't some of y'all's. Now notice, this is what God said. That he chose. I find it so amazing. I was telling Carol the other day, you know that even in Christendom itself, you find many Protestants, Catholics, and different people of religious belief that will say that the Jews are God's chosen people. They have no problem. Oh, the Jews are the chosen. Oh, yeah, they're chosen. Absolutely, they're the chosen people of God. And then when you bring that same concept to the New Testament, that God has a bride. No, now, wait a minute. You're evil and you're mean and saying that. You just said the same thing about the Jews. Brother Donnie, all these people I hear that profess Christianity is under the blood. Really? Well, if they are, I don't even want to go to heaven. If all these people out here sucking on cigarettes, bobbing their hair, painted up like Jezebels, living with other men's wives and vice versa, living a life that is full of sin, if they're going in the rapture, leave me here waiting for the A-bomb. Heaven would be a cesspool in 2 days' time. If you take the people out of Elizabethan and put them in the streets of gold, they would transform heaven into a hellhole in a week's time. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Notice Deuteronomy 26:16. This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. As he has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made, notice, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God. So you mean God chose certain people to have more honor than others? God chose certain ones to be praised more than others. Is this your Bible? I'm sorry, friends, you don't know this in your Bible. Maybe you should read this book more than Better Homes and Gardens or Golf Digest. Maybe you should call it Bible Digest. Maybe you ought to spend a little more time in this book instead of worrying about Tennessee's Titans score and ETSU and all this and that and the other. After all, none of that will give you rapturing faith. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to keep on, sir. You're going to get me killed. Notice, to make thee high above 3, 4, 5. You mean God, a just God, chose one people and is going to elevate them above all other denominations. Nations in the Old Testament, denominations in the New Testament. Notice, Deuteronomy 28:9. The Lord, glory. Devil, don't you go to sleep on me. Listen to scripture. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. As he has sworn unto thee, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. But Brother Donnie, that's the Old Testament. I know that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So you mean there would be an element of Christianity which would fashion themselves backwards toward their former lust under the cloak, well, now I'm saved. So when you was out in the world, you drunk, you committed adultery, you run around, it was awful, it was horrible, you asked God to save you from such. Then God saves you, and you switch from Pabst to Budweiser. So you go from Winston's to Pall Mall, and now you're a smoking Christian. Now you're a drinking Christian. So you do the same things that you did before, but now you're a Christian. You're a hog. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. As obedient children, not fashioning. Look at this word, fashioning. Conform to. Fashion oneself according to conform oneself, one's mind and character to another's. Can't you see why Satan wants your children's minds filled with Hollywood? Fashions of the world. Dresses, it's not decent, this and that. What's it doing? It's a fashion. And here the Bible speaks against worldly fashions. Well, praise God. Well, so-and-so does it. Well, so-and-so's daughter does it this way. I'm not following so-and-so. I'm following God, the Word. Notice this, to fashion oneself according to shape one thing like another, and describes what? Intransitionary, changeable, and unstable. So Satan puts these images. Don't you understand, friends, how the homosexual agenda has been able to sweep the world? It started out with a movie here and a joke there and a book here, and before long it's accepted poll by poll by poll in the United States and around the world. More and more of the people think it's all right. Fifty, 60 years ago, you put a man on television, one man kissing another man in the mouth, my goodness, they would have picketed CBS, ABC, NBC. But it won't be too much longer in our nation. Probably it would have been against the law to preach against it. Come see me in jail, will you? As I've said before, anybody can show me in the Bible where God ever married two men together, I'll do the same. Show me where God married two women, I'll do the same. But I have nothing to worry about because my God never done no such a thing. But of course it's acceptable and we're all going to heaven together. No, no, no. Our God is a holy God. He is a righteous God and He demands holiness of His people. Oh my. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. But as he, man, them apostles, they was, them guys was really goofed up in this election calling, chosen stuff, wasn't they? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't cuss. Do you think that's all holy conversation is? Some of you would never say a bad word. You'd never let anything even questionable come out of your mouth. And you talk the devil's language day in and day out. I ain't saved. I ain't got good faith. I'm not a very good Christian. You think Jesus is going to say that about you? The prophet said in law in Chicago in 1955, people said, well, I ain't got much good faith. I ain't this, that, and other. He said, you should never say that. When you talk that, you're talking the devil's language. Well, God moved before. I'm not sure if He'll do it this time. Don't you let that come out of your mouth. That's one thing that gives me confidence in Him. I know He'll move today because He moved yesterday. I know He's going to move next week because He moved last week. And the week past that, and the week past that, and last year, and the last 50 years of my life, 60 years of my life, He's been there. I can trust Him for tomorrow. Tomorrow may be more difficult, but His power is just as real. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What? Set apart. Now listen, please don't understand me. God is not the God of the Catholic Church. He's not the God of these towers of Babel. You'll find them saying is, but the order is, He says it first, then you say it after He said it. He says, come out of her, my people. Well, He wouldn't call you out of something His in. God tell you not to go to the bar and get drunk. God goes down and gets drunk, falls off the bar stool. God tell you not to go to a prostitute hell. And God goes. God tells you to come out of a denomination to mean He's done left. Come out of her. He don't say come out of her with me. He said I'm done gone. You better get out if you know what's good for you. He's not the God of the denomination. Or they say He is. But you'll not find Him saying that He is. Ooh. Notice again Paul in Titus 2:13 looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So who is our God and our Savior? Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Who gave gave himself. Notice it's not no them. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Perisios, that which is one's own, belonging to one's possessions, a people selected by God from the other nations for his own possession. You did not choose to become his. He chose you before you even had a choice. Praise God. Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look at this, zelotes. Now remember, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, his name was Simon Zelotes. This is the Greek word. Those of you that are familiar with the Maccabees and thereafter, and there was the rebellious groups that would never bow to Rome, so they call them zealots. This is the Greek word it comes from. So it's someone who is, this is the way they are about what they believe. I'm a zealot. For what? Sleep? You need to make a good advertisement for sleeping pills. Take one when you cannot sleep. Put on one of Brother Donnie's sermons. Puts me to sleep every time I hear. That's not a zealot. These zealots risk their life to kill Roman soldiers. These zealots would come in and sneak up. They would attack first century terrorists. Now Paul takes the same word and he uses it right around and said, those of you that are elected, you won't sit around and be lazy and spiritually dead and dry down and say, well, if I'm ordained, hallelujah, I'll get there. If you're ordained, it'll speak itself through your zealous desire to do something for God. Well, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God, and God's waiting on you. Look at this zealous. One burning. Burning, not smoking. Not smoking with zeal. You know, y'all ever try to light a fire and your wood's a little wet, or, you know, whatever it is, the oxygen's not drawn from the bottom of it. Man, you huff and puff and blow and carry on and try to get that going. It just smokes and smokes and smokes and smokes. That's a lot of you folks walk with God. You're just smoking and a smoking and a smoking. Well, praise the Lord. I guess we should get a visiting minister here this weekend, maybe again. Notice this, one burning with zeal, a zealot used of God as jealous of any rival and sternly vindicating his control. A zealot for God is jealous of anything that will try to come between them and their lover. So whether it's sports, whether it's money, whether it's a preacher, whether it's your mama, your daddy, you look at it and say, I will not give that. I will not give my all to that. I am jealous of my life. Praise God. Notice this, most eagerly desirous of, zealous to acquire a thing, to defend and uphold a thing, vehemently contending. Now when we get locked out of good works, we're ready for the rapture. Now if some of y'all was going kayaking or on a camping trip or going to something you needed to be, there at a certain time in the morning, and you're just going to have to get up at 5 o'clock or 5:30. You have to get up and pack your truck, and you're all going to Dollywood for the weekend, or you're going to the Smokies. Set the alarm clock. Don't be late. and you pull on this parking lot 45 minutes or an hour after church has started, I don't care if you amen it or not. You know what it tells me? It tells me what you think about order. You think you don't need the singing. You think you don't need the preliminary. You better read again. Sure, if you're just getting off work, that's one thing. But if you're sorry, lazy, Carol said the other day, said it's a good thing God's more patient than a lot of employers would be by people showing up at church as late as they do, because they'd be having a new job. Oh, Jesus, I'm going home. Why? We get so zealous for stupid stuff. Foolish! Now, what if I called a prayer meeting at 7 a.m. in the morning? How many would show up? I hope that ain't the only ones going in a rapture. Why? We're so zealous for things we enjoy. Pleasures of life. Things we enjoy that gratify what? Right here. Praise God. Oh, may God so stir our hearts that we'll be as zealous for good works, prayer, reading our Bibles, listening to tapes, fellowship with the right kind of people, doing the right kind of things, just praising Him. How many times y'all praise the Lord during the day? During the day, Brother Donnie? What do you mean? You mean you do it other than church? Church is the least amount of time that I do praise Him. I praise Him every day of my life. Literally hundreds of, but what for? Well, His mercy, His goodness, His kindness, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His revelation, His prophet, His church, His ministry. I've got so much to praise Him for, I cannot ever praise Him enough. And the more I praise Him, the more I want to. Hallelujah. And the happier it makes me in praising my God. I am zealous of my God. Stand. Wow. Sorry that the visitors had to be here on this roasting Wednesday night. Oh, children, don't you want to be like this? You ever remember those saints that Paul wrote about in the New Testament? That they had addicted themselves? They were addicts. We're addicted to our cell phones. You watch people. It cannot ding one time or whatever chime or whatever their thing is. It's automatic. Our subconscious is so linked to that thing. People will quit talking to you. They'll look away from talking to you to answer it. Our doctor's office is having to put things in there. Please turn your cell phone off. Well, hallelujah. Oh, if we could get addicted to the Bible. We could get addicted to prayer, Brother John. Get addicted to the things that will make us a more spiritual person. More in love with the Lord Jesus. David, when he stood down there that day and reached and grabbed them rocks out of his pocket. Let me close with this and ask you, what would you grab out of your bag? A video game? Your iPhone? Your droid? When you're going to meet Satan, you'll need more than video games. To withstand the evil of this day, my friends, you're going to need more. You're going to need more than just your intellectual faith. Well, I believe God sent a prophet. Every devil in hell believes the same thing. As a matter of fact, if they could come to this pulpit tonight and give you some of the testimonies, it'd probably make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Oh, I'd like to hear some of their testimonies. I'd like to hear how they met this prophet that people are calling a liar and a deceiver and a false prophet. Oh, if we could run about 3 weeks revival and let demons testify every night and tell the fear they had, how they trembled, how they shook in the presence of this gift that God sent to this generation. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love the Lord Jesus? Let's pray together, if you will. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray you'd forgive us for our slothfulness, our humanity. Help us, Lord Jesus. We can be more like you, Father. Oh, God. The people of the world, whatever their thing is, whether it's partying or drinking or drugs, or it so fills their minds. Their songs, whether it's country or rock and roll or whatever it is, their songs are about their lives and their lives are about their songs. This one run off with that one's wife. So they sing it and they become it. So they watch their television programs with all their filth and all their nonsense. Reading true story magazines that wouldn't be fit for a dog to read. And then they find the spirit of lust getting on them and desiring somebody else's companion. And then they wonder where it come from. Well, it sure didn't come from reading the Bible. Help us, Lord, to see that we are humans. We must feed. The prophet of God said the Holy Ghost only feeds on one thing. The Word of God. The Word of God. Help us, Lord Jesus. We want to be a holy people. But Father, when I say that, I'm not just talking about that us men don't have gold chains about our necks and earrings dangling in our ears and nose rings and pink hair and our sisters wearing skin-tight clothes to church and all that sort of thing. But Father, we are a separated people within our souls, our hearts. Those who live in the top of the pyramid in this age, those who have lived in this mystical body called the church, will live in that mystical city at that day. It would be unbecoming to put just a half-hearted church member as a permanent resident in that city. It would not match their earthly journey. So for those who get tired of going to church easy and don't really see the need of going to church that frequently, unless they change, it pretty well tells us if they do make it, where they'll be living in the new earth. They'll be the ones coming up from new moon, Sabbath to Sabbath. But those, Lord, that have fulfilled what that prophet said, they can't wait to get back to the house of God. That burning, that yearning, Lord, it ain't just a burning to come to this building here. It's a call from heaven. It's our identity. It's the songs we sing. It's the sermons we hear preached. We're becoming what we're singing. We're becoming what we're hearing preached. Hallelujah! Amen. So when we sing the song, I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for His own. There's something that so calls us from that heavenly realm because we are walking in the parallel of that city right now. Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. So we are mirroring by the message of the hour right now a city life. Oh, glory to God. The city life is living through the bride around the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Oh, don't you love Him, children? Don't you want to reflect heaven while you're here as a mortal on this earth? Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, there's so many people falling away. Lord, have mercy. There ain't going to be nobody left. Let me readjust your thinking here and help you just a moment. Brother Ron Peterson just got back a couple weeks ago, from the dedication of Shekinah Tabernacle in the Congo. 25,000 5,000 people on the inside. Over 5,000 on the outside that couldn't even get in the church. Over 100 churches in the one city of Kinshasa. No, we're not just going by numbers, but just in case you're wondering, there ain't nobody left. Wake up, Elijah. Amen. Do you understand, in some of the African countries, this message is the largest Christian move in some of the African nations. The move is on, brother, sister. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. God's got a people. He's always had a people. He always will have a people. Let people fall to the left. Oh, sure, we don't want to see people go astray. I hate it when you hear about it. But let them come, let them go, do whatever they're going to do. The church rolls right on. Can't you see God could not base it upon your choice or my choice or the weakness of our humanity? He must base it upon something more stable than us. He must base it upon something more secure than us. And He could find nothing more secure than His own mind. So from His mind and His desire, He spoke your name. The prophet of God said He spoke your name and wrote it before the foundation of the world. You imagine God spoke your name. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Your name then, whatever your original name is the spoken word of God. Praise God. That's the church. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing together. Hey, I'm bound for that beautiful city. God bless you. Won't you turn around and shake hands with somebody? Say, God bless you, brother, sister. Good to be in church with you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You see this order? Friends, it may sound foolish, but the prophet of God said if you had cancer in your body and if you didn't fear it, it couldn't hurt you. Can you imagine a demon like cancer? It was so profound that the angel of God mentioned it in particular by name. That was before cancer ever got to where it is today. That's right. But can you imagine you've got it in your body, and if you've got a revelation from God, faith in His word, and you do not fear it, it can't harm you. Why? Because the prophet of God said you renounce that thing. You renounce it and command it to leave your body. Well, Brother Donnie, we're all going to leave this world some way. That's exactly right. If God's going to take you by that, I think He'll let you know. But until He lets you know, you stand your ground. That's right. Stand your ground. Headache come. Well, you may be going to die. You may be going to die. The devil will rob your health. You'll run away from you every day of your life if you'll let him. But you need to stand right there. Devil, back off. You better back off, devil. I renounce these thoughts. I renounce these symptoms. By his stripes, I am already healed. Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing it before we go. I'm bound for that beautiful city. My Lord has prepared for His own. We're all the redeemed of all ages. Sing glory.
Sometimes I go homesick for heaven, and the glory I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. Heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will
most of you are aware there's a terrible, terrible storm heading toward the East Coast. We know the devil is the prince of the power of the air. If you've ever followed any of the horrific storms that come across the earth, I find it so amazing. You look across the flatlands of Kansas and you may be thousands of acres. We drove several years ago, Brother Dave Johnson, Brother Daniel Ball and myself hunting. And I was driving in the afternoon, and I drove for I don't know how many miles without seeing a house, without seeing a driveway in Nebraska and parts of those countries out there. And yet, when tornadoes and many of these storms come through, where do they come through? Barren lands? Places where there is nobody? Why will these tornadoes come through a little bitty old tiny town of 500 or 600 and totally annihilate it? Somebody's guiding them. Now, what he's done is he wants to convince the insurance people and a lot of the people of this world, and they call it an act of God. Oh, how he laughs. He does it and blames it on God. He got in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. But the creator of the winds stepped to the bow of the ship. Hallelujah. They're calling this storm the storm of the century, storm of a generation, storm of a lifetime, so on and so on and so on. I'm grateful that science has been able to do all the things that they can do to help notify people, but they'll scare the liver out of you if you let them. We've got all kinds of brothers and sisters up and down the coast, North Carolina, South Carolina, up and through Georgia. Some of the models say we may get inundated with rain and we may get this and that and the other. I'm sure you've already been praying, but I'd like for us to pray together tonight as we leave that God would be merciful to his people. I love you. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. That is, if y'all want me to come back. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so glad tonight. We know the maker of the wind. And we know the master of the rain. Satan is so evil, so corrupt. He loves to get into the barometric pressure and cause a little stir and bring it over the warm water and then cause all the solidification of the moisture and so on to create these things. To be able to make them, he cannot create them himself, but take the natural elements that you've left in the atmosphere and to be able to bring them together to destroy and annihilate. Lord Jesus, we're asking for your help. You see, Father, as this storm bears down upon our United States, Lord, we know our nation has turned its back on you. As a whole, Father, she's beyond redemption. But you got some redeemed, some holy people living up and down that coast there, Father. Not so far from Myrtle Beach, down Florence, Brother Fred and his people, Lord. Different saints in South Carolina and North Carolina. And God, they're saying that the rain may come this way. Lord, we ask you, you'd watch over your people. May you be with us, Lord, in the days that are to come. We know these things are minor compared to what will happen in the tribulation period. When the wrath of God, then it won't be just the devil in the atmosphere, but the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth in ways that she has known it previously before, except in many ways in a more difficult way. She still bears those scars, Lord. As I saw a picture the other day, we're up in the Arctic Circle, where they had drilled down hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet and found a palm frond off of a palm tree. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet beneath the ice. One day, it was a distemperate climate. The earth has experienced the judgment of God. But Lord Jesus, we pray you'd be mindful of your children. After David had been dead and gone for years, you said, I'll not do so and so for David's sake. I'll not do this for David's sake. That's what your elect mean to you, even after they leave. What about those elect that are living? Be mindful of us, Lord God, in these days that are coming. May you watch over your people, Brother Jason and his people down in Beaufort, Lord. Right on the coast there. Oh, Heavenly Father, be with us, we pray, Lord. Hide us, O Rock of Ages. We love you with all of our hearts, Father. Go with us now. Bring us back, I pray, this weekend, Lord, if it be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian, a child of God? Amen. Harry, sing that for us. I know the master of the wind. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Let's come back this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us again from His Word.
I know the master of the wind.
Master of